to a large war, 18. Left AC.
Hey, bro.
Go ahead and set me up a second line.
I think I went a little too far this time.
A shorty injury to his chest.
I'm at your place right now, son. I know what's going on. See you at the hospital. This is all just part of the process.
Thank you for being with me, Donnie.
Sir, can you hear me at all? McLaren McComb, MedStar Alpha 109.
MedStar 109, McLaren.
Happy Halloween, everyone. This is another episode of Abstract Motif. Upon arriving to my destination today, a gust of wind careened against my car and into the garden of Trinity Chapel. Today I'm here with Shannon. Say hello, Shannon.
Hi there.
So, Shannon, there's something interesting that we felt about that gust of wind that occurred just right now. It wasn't here before I got here, was it?
Absolutely not. It was very still, calm, a beautiful day for the last hour I've been here, until you walked up.
Right. And there's other peculiarities that exist within the walls and confines of this chapel, are there not?
Yes, there are. There are.
Abstract Motif.
So if you could give us a little introduction on yourself and why we're here right now.
Well, I'm the owner and operator of this chapel, a historical chapel, and since taking over, my assistants and I and my staff have noted a lot of peculiar happenings within the chapel and the property itself. So, I've had a number of brides get married here that have actually been very sensitive and somewhat paranormal themselves that have come and asked me if they could come and spend time here. But my staff and I have had a variety of experiences that are totally out of the ordinary and odd.
How far back does this go? Like with you, like has it happened only in this chapel or has it kind of carried on with you?
So my experiences all started when my husband and I purchased a large estate in San Juan Capistrano in the hills above the San Juan Mission. And I was not a big believer in any of this. And then and taking over that home, remodeling, living there over the years, I've been made a 100% believer as I live with these entities and spirits from the other side. And as crazy as that sounds, those of you that have had experiences know what I'm talking about. And I've learned to make peace with it and accept it. But I've never felt like they followed me around. However, in taking over this chapel a handful of years ago, there's definitely a presence here. I have my own thoughts about who that might be. But again, my husband and I also own a historical home in Old Town Park City, Utah that is very haunted, that there are stories about. In fact, it's one of the houses on their haunted ghost tour. So I've learned to kind of accept that they're around me. I'm sure they were here before me, but for some reason their presence is very strong around me.
So regarding your home, you actually told me an interesting interpretation on how that becomes somewhat of a portal. Like there is a history to that terrain, wasn't there?
Well, after experiencing several things and losing several gardeners, designers, all kinds of utility people that have worked for me over the years because they've seen things, I finally contacted a medium who came out and she told me about five particular people that were on the property. Ironically, I contacted four other mediums and none of them knew me, none of them knew the property, none of them knew each other. And they've all told me the same things about the people there. The most recent person I contacted was to clear the property because my husband and I wanted to sell it. And over the last 10 years, I've tried to sell the home multiple times and always end up with it coming back to me. Falling out of escrow with suspect circumstances, actually moved out of the home for 2 years, and we ended up getting it back after that with the people who love, love, love the home, had to have it, and then couldn't give it back to us fast enough. So the one episode when I had it cleared, the medium told me, you know, we're in the hills above the mission, and If you do tours of the San Juan Mission, you'll learn about the Padres and how they tried to domesticate the Indians, and there was an uproar, and there was a huge massacre, and a lot of those Indians fled, obviously up and through the hills. And over time, there were obviously a lot of massacres in those hills. So I don't think it's my house. I've been told it's not my home. I've been told it's the land. And the particular person that's there, she's elderly, in her late 70s when she passed, actually owned the land. And according to her, she's never leaving. So it doesn't matter who lives there, she owns the land. She had a fire and lost her three children there. And so she likes me. And so that's what I'm told. They're not letting me go.
So how do they communicate this to you? I mean, is it something that you just sense and kind of receive via osmosis, or is it something that you actually physically hear?
Well, I didn't know who, but obviously I was present for so many different experiences, from the intercom system, which is brand new when we gutted the house and redid it, to going off with static all hours of the night and not stopping, even with it off and all the power turned down, and me yelling at them, and then lights flickering on and off. I've had beds turned sideways in the room when I walked in, which freaked me out, that one time. I've had a popular cable show did a reality show on haunted mansions, and they chose ours thinking it was more haunted than the Whalen House in San Diego. So they filmed a clip on it, and I don't want to mention names, but they were very taken with it, and they had the medium come, and she said all the same things. So, I have pictures of tons of orbs. I've had ghost hunters there. We've done, I have portals, pictures of portals. They used to torment my dog, who used to see them and was afraid of them. So just a lot of experiences, and that's what made me become a believer and actually start looking into these things. And yeah.
And for the listeners, like, Shannon's actually showed me some of these pictures with the orbs, and it's really insane how many orbs you actually see. You know, usually it's with some things that you watch on TV or YouTube, like, you see pictures of orbs that are really vague and very faint, but these are very distinct photographs with, like, a lot of, like, what you would call spiritual activity. So another thing that interests me is, like, I imagine being a guest on one of these properties and, like, let's just say, like, a gardener, and what could be so frightening that a gardener, or, you know, a set of gardeners, like, would decide to just abandon the business there? Like, what kind of stuff would they see?
Well, I know one particular gardener was Hispanic, and he was Catholic, and he was working in the window box, and all of a sudden, this huge piece of, like, plaster out of nowhere kind of fell off the roof, almost hit him in the head, and there was nobody on the property, nobody there, no wind, and it freaked him out, and he jumped back, and he looked around, and then one of my statues, which is a cherub statue of an angel, fell over and broke, and that was it for him. He wouldn't talk about anything else. He just quit on the spot and never came back. I had a designer who, she's very sensitive to this now. Again, after doing our home, she walked in. Nobody was there. She walked in. There was a cell phone sitting on a window ledge. All of a sudden, levitated to the middle of the floor, started spinning around. The assistant she had that was working with her ran out of the house screaming, quit on the job, and would never come back. And my designer would never come back again after nighttime. That just freaked her out.
What I find interesting is that you sit here and you come across as an extremely sane person. And with the stuff that you're telling me, I'm just wondering, like, are you just comfortable, like, living in a life just surrounded by these incidents and spirits?
You know, I had to make peace with that. I've had a number of mediums come in. They all tell me they're peaceful. They all tell me they're attached to me. They like me. They won't let me leave. Hence, us never being able to sell this house over the last decade, even though it's been priced so much lower than what we have in it. And it's an amazing, stunning home. But there becomes a curiosity. And I will tell you, after all of this, I mean, I lost my father in 2000, and I never had I had one foot in, one foot out about the other side, not knowing for sure. And I've talked to my father now, and I ask him for things and they happen. I've been to mediums who tell me my father watches over me, he's right beside me. So I feel a sense of peace, and I feel like nothing negative is going to happen to me, even though these people are, or these spirits, these entities can be playful. Mm-hmm. They hide things from me. Mm-hmm. If I ask them where they are, suddenly it'll appear. It's like they're pro me. I've tried I've tried everything from burying the, you know, padre upside down in the yard to get away, to asking them nicely, to threatening them, to just living life, to even having my house cleared at one point. But they come back, and I don't know if the same ones come back, but they come back. And I, you know, I've just learned to accept it. It's like once you know they're there, they're there, and what are you going to do about it?
Have they ever worked in your favor?
I'm sure they have. I, you know, without naming names, I've asked for certain things that seem like that's impossible. And it's happened. They've happened. And, you know, sometimes, because I think God's really too busy for the small tasks that I'm asking for.
Yeah.
And I feel like with my dad, I only have a certain number. It sounds silly, but I feel like I have a quota. So sometimes I'll ask the spirits, like, oh my God, where is this? Or stop doing that. Or don't do this. And they stop. And sometimes I'll have a dinner party, and my husband teases me and said, yeah, let my wife tell you about the spirits. And everybody's curious. And I start talking about it like, trust me, we have this massive crystal chandelier at the ceiling of the living room, and I'll say, watch, if they're here, they're going to start blinking that on and off because I'm asking them to, and they will in front of everyone, and people think I'm a magician. That's happened. If I'm alone and the static in the intercom system goes off at 3 a.m., and then again at 4 a.m., and then at 5 a.m., when the power's off and it can't do that, I'll scream at them to stop, and they'll stop, and I've asked them nicely to please not do that anymore because it freaks me out, and it doesn't happen anymore. So I do think that they're positive, they're peaceful. I think there have been ones there that were joking and done practical, you know, pranks. But you know, you just learn to live with them. And I have had experiences, because since all of this, I've had a curiosity about haunted places. So I drag my poor husband along, and we've taken trips to haunted resorts, most recently the Stanley, where I have evidence on my phone of hauntings. We stayed in the haunted room 412 or whatever it is, and Stephen King's room, and then both. And then also the Myrtle Plantation, which is the most haunted place, where I had an experience that was very scary, and it's on my cell phone, where my husband walked in front of the mirror and literally disappeared. But I didn't notice him disappearing when I was filming it until I got back to the room and I started watching it. And he walked in front of my camera, in front of the mirror, which was a portal where the mistress actually died, and her face appears continuously, no matter how many times they've had it silvered over the last decades. And he disappeared in front of the mirror, just disappeared, and nobody can believe it. And I post it, and I don't have the first clue how to doctor things or Photoshop things or, you know, make things phony. And I think that's a bad sign. So yeah, I didn't stay. We stayed one night and we left early.
And where was this?
This is the Myrtle Plantation,
in
Louisiana. Most people that are into paranormal things have heard about it. You can Google one of the most haunted places in the U.S. That will come up. The Stanley Hotel, which was the basis for Stephen King's book The Shining, another one. Yeah.
Aside from the experiences in your own residence, tell us a bit more about Trinity Chapel.
Well, Trinity Chapel was built in the early 1900s. It's on the National Historical Registry. It's built... it's an active Christian church, and I mainly do weddings here, some memorials, but I do weddings and events. And it's funny because now every photographer that comes here, literally their batteries will be drained in nothing flat the minute they walk in. So it's almost comical. They have to change them. My assistant, who is running around here somewhere, can tell you many stories. She's afraid to go in the chapel after night. One evening, we turned all the lights off. We locked everything down. We cleaned it up. We locked it. But I sent her back in at the last minute just to make sure everything was locked, so nobody could break in, because there's homeless populations around California now. And there was a pillar in the middle of the stage with a burning candle. Well, we have no burning candles in this chapel because of the... It's all wood, but also it's on the historical registry, and I can't have it burning down. So there are no flame candles allowed. And there's this bright, big candle burning flame, which freaked everybody out. I did my first gay wedding because, as I said, I am a strong believer that everyone has the right to marry whoever they love. And by God, that means they're going to be able to get married in my chapel. But I did my first gay wedding, and left around midnight. I showed back up at 9 a.m. to do a tour, and the entire chapel was covered in about 200,000 dead bees. Within 8 hours, dead bees, and literally covered the floor, the chapel, the pews, the altar, the stage, everywhere. And I called the city, and they found a beehive that was about 100 pounds that had about 100,000 bees in the back, but never had I seen a bee ever. And how is it that bees would have all burrowed their way in into the chapel and died in like 8 hours tops? It was like something out of the locust out of the Bible or something. And I took that as a sign, and it freaks me out. Even though I still marry gay and lesbian people in our chapel.
Say would be among the scariest experiences, whether here at the chapel or in your residence or any other resort?
Well, my husband in April walking in front of this mirror that has this woman's face in it that will never disappear, and then disappearing freaked me out, very much so. The bee incident was very freaky for me, and my top three. And the third one at our home in the... I was sound asleep. It was 3 a.m. I rolled over. I had a t-shirt on that kind of rose up, and I kicked off my covers because it was hot, and I felt 3 scratch marks on my stomach. And it woke me up, and I thought, I must be dreaming. I didn't really feel that, but then it happened again. And there, my husband's on the other side of me snoring away, and I was wide awake and paralyzed. And, you know, I've had people like grab my foot at the bottom of the bed, but then you're always wondering, did that really happen or was I dreaming? This I was wide awake for, and it freaked me out. And I'll tell you, that happened probably 3 years ago. And ever since then, literally, I'll wake up at 3 a.m. Almost every morning, I'll wake up at 3 a.m. And with that jolt me awake. It happens all the time now, with this fear that that's going to happen again. So now I wear full pajamas and I never take off the covers.
You know, there was one time where I felt like it was probably the closest I've ever had to a demonic encounter or something like that. And I remember that there was like a blurry visual experience that I had. Like there was like a cloud of blurry perception in front of me. I think you had just mentioned that there was something
right.
like that.
In our backyard, all of our trees died out of nowhere. And so I went to replace them, 14 in all. And I was snapping before and after photos just for my book. And because I have a whole book on what we've done to the property. And I put it on the computer, and all this wavy looking air blurred the people. And then all this smoke's coming up from underneath the ground and orbs everywhere. And that's when the one medium told me that that's a porthole, and there were like 24 Indians there, and they've attached themselves to me and my dog. And my dog, he's the one that started all this for me. He's the one that's freaked out by something, and they torment him, and he chased them. And I have photos of them with my dog chasing them. And that's when I became a believer. And that was probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Do you ever experience that sense of demonic dread when they're around? Like, you know, sometimes like you can't really see anything happen, but you have like a deep gut.
I have a sense that they're there. I always feel like it's peaceful and they're not there to harm me. They're watching over me. On occasion, I've felt kind of negativity, and that's been very rare. And, you know, usually I ask them to leave or I'll demand they leave, and then that kind of goes away.
Do you have any relationships with them as far as, like, you've been able to, like, have impressions of their names or, like, you know, a sense of what they may have looked like?
Yes. That
you kind of...
Yes. Yes. In both the chapel and at home, yes.
Do you care to reveal any of that information, or is that something very personal?
Well, in the chapel, I feel as though we bought this property in circumstances that were the previous people didn't want to let it go. They were losing it. They couldn't afford to put money into it. It was a long battle, and we had issues. And in the interim, the one person passed away, and I feel very strongly that he's here, and that when things go wrong, like our sound system out of nowhere, which is brand new, goes out, or the dead bees. He was a very religious person and very against, you know, people of different, you know, sexual preference marrying one another, and very against that. And so I feel like that whole incident after that happened, and I feel like he was... had something to do with that. I feel like a number of times, in fact, my staff and I now call him by name and we ask him to stop at tormenting us or stop doing that. And then things, they'll stop. They'll stop. And we laugh about it now because we've just accepted that that's who we think is here.
Right.
Now, it could be others, but I feel a strong sense of that. At home, because of all the various mediums I've had, all of them telling me who was in our home, all of them describing them to a Teague, I feel like, you know, five of them that do this for a living can't be wrong. When they don't know me or the house, they don't even know the address until they're arriving. They can't look it up. There's nothing on the internet about me or my home or my chapel, and I'd like to keep it that way. yet they all say the same thing. And so I feel close to the people in our home now, and I feel like it's okay that they're there. They were there before me, and I feel like they won't let me go, and I'm flattered, but at some point I need them to let me go. It's time to downsize and move on. And
right.
You know,
would you happen to have any idea of why they may want to keep you around so badly?
Well, according to the mediums, and this is from all of them, they like me, they identify with me, they respect me. I think they also like that I acknowledge them.
Right.
I've acknowledged they're here and it's okay with me. And where others, you know, might think that's hogwash or, you know, not buy it, or that everyone wants to be acknowledged and everyone wants to feel like they matter. And I think they feel like I believe they're there, and it's okay that they're there, and I respect that, and I feel for them for the ways that they passed. I mean, the reason they have not moved on is usually because they, one of them, 17-year-old girl that was Indian who had her throat slashed, and the older woman who's 77 that had heart disease, who owned the land there originally, whose house burned, a ranch-style house burned in a fire, and she lost her three children, and she was married to an abusive husband. And she's there, and she takes care of the 17-year-old. And then I won't go into details about the others. Some of them are very private, and the mediums felt that, you know, they've moved on, and they felt like it wasn't, you know, something they want to discuss on social media. So
these spirits are primarily earthbound. It seems like, you know, they're spirits and entities of people who had once lived. Do you ever feel like that you've been called by some sort of deities other than the Christian or Judeo-Christian pantheon?
I'm not giving that any medium. Meaning. I personally, I believe for some reason I've had these experiences. I believe that I sound like a nutcase to a lot of people, including my husband. But even my husband would have to admit, if you held his feet to the fire, that things have happened in our home and that he's witnessed things that he's not ready to admit to, just because he doesn't want to look like a loon, as he calls it. But I'm not I also don't want to get so involved in this that it overtakes me and I'm obsessed with it. I have, it entertains me and I have a natural curiosity about it, but at the same time, I don't want to overstep that boundary and then suddenly I'm in this dark place and I'm seeing them all the time.
Right.
Or it's enough that I feel them and I sense it. My husband's going to tell you suddenly in the last decade or 15 years, I have the ability to feel things or sense things that are there and that I can find things. If you lost your sunglasses or your keys, I can actually see that in my mind where they are. Mm. And I never had that ability and never tapped into that. And in the last 15 years, that is very strong. People that know me or have been around me will tell you they don't know how, especially my husband, they don't know how I do that, but there's something there. There's some sort of special ability there. I don't talk about it because, again, I feel like, is that right? I don't know that that's right to have that. So I don't often use that. But if it's really important, I do. And there have been occasions where I've like had to come up with something that was gone.
Right.
And I see it. It's weird. I see it in my mind and I can see exactly where it's positioned and I walk right to it. And it's just the most bizarre thing, even for me. I still have a hard time believing that I can that can happen.
That's known as the sixth sense, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah,
like intuition?
But it's weird. It's weird because it's not something that I ever felt until about 15 years, after my dad died. And originally, I always gave my dad all the credit. Like, well, I'll ask my dad. It used to be a joke. Ask your dad. Ask your dad where this is. Ask your dad this. We need to know this, you know. And I would. And then it would happen. So I would say, it's my dad. He's watching over me or whatever. And then it became like, well, try doing that without asking your dad. And then I would. And then I was still able to recover that or find that or locate or know the answer to that. Or it's just bizarre. It's a bizarre thing. I still can't explain it, but I don't like to do that very often because part of me feels like I have a quota and I'm going to get to the end of my quota and then I'm not going to have that ability anymore.
Oh,
it's going
right.
to be really important
yeah.
that I like...
You're going to like exhaust like this facility
yeah,
or like, this faculty?
I feel like that. That sounds yeah. weird, but I feel like, you know, what if I have this ability and then suddenly it's going to go away? Or I used it too much, you know what I mean?
So can you also kind of get an insight into other people in the same way? Like, I'm not necessarily for like a bad reason, but like if someone, you can tell someone's deeply depressed, like you kind of like
yeah,
see inside.
Yeah, but I think that, I don't know that, so I'm a people person. I'm very right. outgoing. I'm very in tune with people. I like people. I make friends with anyone and everyone. I feel like I'm no better than the guy sleeping on the sidewalk over here. You know what I mean? I mean, we all put our pants on the same way. We all come into the world the same way. We all go out the same way. So
right.
it doesn't matter what I have materialistically and he doesn't, we're no different. And that's how I really believe. And that's why I make friends with everyone. I bring home strays. But so I don't know if because I feel like I am intuitive or I have that sense about people, I don't know if it's maybe because that's the type of person I am,
mm-hmm.
or if I have some more of their sense. I don't know. I just know that, and I give people second chances to a fault, third, fourth, fifth chances to a fault. My assistant's laughing because she would agree. But, you know, I just want everyone to be the best they can be and
yeah.
to be happy. And I feel like also you can't know what a person's dealing with until you've walked in their shoes. So
right.
who am I to say, well, you know, they screwed up or they didn't do this right or they did. Because how do I know how I would really be if I was living in their shoes?
Right.
Do you know?
Yeah. So a sense of empathy. Would you say that you've gained even more empathy having dealt with like these spirits?
100%.
Because
absolutely.
You've had to understand like their backstories.
Absolutely.
You know, you understand. You probably sense some of their pain and their frustration.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, and I feel sorry for them.
Right.
I feel like, you know, a lot of times they left and they had unfinished business, or they left very tragically, or even if they didn't leave tragically, something in their life happened that was tragic that they're trying to write. You know, and. I believe that. I never used to, but I 100% believe that now.
So you have this connection, I mean, via land primarily, to spirits of like earlier natives. It makes me kind of think like if that's so possible, then there must easily be a way to channel your father, right? I mean, do you have a connection with him in certain ways like
yes.
that?
Yes. I'm sure
he doesn't haunt you.
Right? My dad doesn't know. I know. I was devastated when my father died. He was only 66, and he died of cancer. He smoked and he drank in the last years, and that killed him. And I took care of him in the last 9 months. And we didn't have an ultra-close relationship in my adult years. And I was able to, I feel, write that, get that back in the end. And I was devastated when he passed on, and I know he's in a better place, and I know that he's a different person, and he's been present, and I know he's been present because I've gone to mediums and they've told me that he's there. And you know, I've always been somewhat skeptical, but they'll tell me a nickname that he had for me that nobody but my dad knows, and I know. Nobody. They'll tell me how he died. They'll tell me what he regrets and what he's sorry for to me. They'll tell me things that nobody else could know. Things like that he did, that he's sorry for, and that I need to try to write for him, that nobody but me knows, and he knows, and maybe my mom, who, you know, he told me, you know, my mother was diagnosed with terminal melanoma throughout her body and given 3 months to live. That was 11 years ago. My mother's had a Whipple operation. She's had multiple radiation. She's had 6 brain surgeries for malignant cancer. My mother doesn't die. She has more energy than I do still, and she's 84.
Wow.
And it's because my father has told me all along that he's not ready. My mother's not ready. He's not ready for her to come yet. She can stay there, and she's not dying, and she doesn't. But he told me very clearly, when my mother was taking a trip, he told me very clearly my mother was going to fall and have a nasty fall. And she was going to Europe, and I told her right before she left that she needed to be really careful because Dad told me she's going to fall. Now, she thought I was crazy, okay, but I think she was very careful the whole trip walking, and the last day she fell, and it was bad. She messed up her ankle, and, you know, it was bad. And she suffered from that for 6 months after. And so, I mean, you know, who can do that?
Right.
I didn't perceive that. My dad, I know my dad told me that. He told me through a medium. And other things he's told me, and all of them have come to fruition. He's been right on. And there's no way, he's not here. There's no way he could know these things.
Yeah, you know, and as someone who believes in a lot of paranormal stuff and a lot of spiritual stuff, I like to balance things out with a healthy dose of skepticism, as I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. So there is the notion of confirmation bias. There's self-fulfilling prophecies. But if you have experience with this stuff, like I know you do, and I do myself to some degree, you can tell that there is something a little off between a self-fulfilling prophecy and something coming to fruition,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes you may not be engaged or like maybe invested in the action that happened. It's not of your doing.
Right.
It happens
well,
to
that,
you.
Well, that's why I believe, because like you said, a self-fulfilling prophecy, it's kind of like, you know, maybe you had something to do with it happening. So you said,
yeah.
Oh, this happened because of this.
Yeah.
But these are things that I had nothing to do with,
right.
and things that I was not even aware of
yeah.
that were told to me.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. I mean, it's not like my mom didn't fall because I told her. If anything, she was very, very careful the whole trip. Now, maybe the last day she let her guard down because that's when she fell. But I believe if she hadn't been very guarded or I hadn't told her that, she probably would have fallen far earlier.
Right.
You know, she was in Prague or something, or Eastern Europe, and it's all cobblestone streets, and she
yeah.
wears those dumb little Birkenstocks or whatever. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I would never in a million years think she's going to fall.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I've become a very strong believer. I'm very sensitive to it. And it's for reasons, because of the things that I've seen, and we don't have time on this podcast to go into it. I can show you things on my cell phone, my pictures, like, and you're going to be in shock, like friends are and people I show. But all I can say is that, yeah, I because of these experiences, I feel a sense of peace. Prior to this, I felt scared of dying all the time. I always felt scared of death because I felt like, you know, is there a nothingness? We're just put under the ground and that's it. And we're gonna never see our loved ones again. Since all of this, since my father's passed and I've had this connection, and since I've felt these entities, these spirits, I feel at peace because I feel like when I die, even though I don't want to die and there's still a fear of dying, I feel like I'm not really going to be gone. I'm just going to step on the other side of you and you're not going to see me, but I'm still going to see you and I'm still going to see my grandkids grow up and I'm still going to see people I love. And even though they don't see me, I feel like I'm going to have a presence and they're going to feel me, even though they don't see me. And they may not recognize that or acknowledge it, but in the back of their mind, it's going to remind them of me and they're going to think of me. And so that's kind of, in a way, a connection. And I feel happy about that.
You know, Southern root workers, I believe they call that the veil. Like, you know, you step behind the veil. It's not this physical world, but it's like, you know, some call it the astral, some call it, you know,
right,
the mental plane or whatever. But either way, thank you so much for your time, Shannon. And thank you for inviting me to the Trinity Chapel.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming, Paul.